Good evening, Calvary.
Good evening.
What a blessing to see this good number out on this old icy and cold Wednesday evening. And we're going to preach fast. You listen fast. I'll make all the announcements fast. We'll ask the Holy Spirit to send the message fast. And we'll get out of here fast. Brother Reggie said as he was walking across the street over here, he did kind of find a little patch of black ice down there. So you be careful going home if black ice is known in your area. I don't know where everybody goes. Some's going all the way down to Hunting Creek and going down towards Statesville. We got people going every different direction, but just be careful going home. Probably my little brother and his wife's driving about the furthest. They've got about a 35-minute drive from here. But anyway, if you're going home tonight, you just be safe. If you're staying here, then we'll leave the light on for you and leave the heat turned up. It's good to have some visitors back here. Thank you for coming in. Don't know where you normally worship, but the Lord's led you here on this Wednesday night, and I appreciate the fact that people still love the Lord and like to come out on a Wednesday night. Several of you, Brother Dean texted here and called me today and asked us. He said, I've got to go to church somewhere. Please tell me y'all having service. And I said, well, yeah, we're going to have it if we can. And I understand tonight the choir being about half empty and the pews being half empty. A lot of people just can't get out. Max, I'm going to be honest with you, son. I was surprised to see you, buddy. They fixed you up, they put something bionic in there. And I appreciate you. I do. I appreciate the Lord helping you to recover. We've got a host of other folks. Tommy, I'm going to be honest with you, son. I wasn't looking for you, but you're here, and I appreciate that. For those that may not be fully in the loop, Brother Tommy lost his mother 1 week ago tonight. Miss Mary was up here praising the Lord, stood back there with a testimony on her heart. Thank the Lord for her pastor. And I love Miss Mary, but as you well know, yesterday morning, the Lord got Miss Mary's mansion done. He's told us in His Word that I've gone away to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Well, guess what? He got Miss Mary's mansion done yesterday, and he come to get her. And Brother Tommy, to see you here tonight, that shows me your heart, and I appreciate that. Mary Doris, we love y'all, and we'll continue praying. We're not ceasing to pray for you. And Brother Tommy's got some lost family members. I won't name them by name, but there's a likely chance that most of those lost family members will be here at the funeral on Friday. And God's put something on my heart, and I know God's in it because what He put on my heart, He did it last night whenever we were visiting at the home of Brother Tommy and Miss Mary Doris, and He put something on my heart. And prayed about it and thought about it, and I was trying to ponder it in my heart, and then talked to Brother Tommy today, and we just kind of confirmed it through a phone call, and I believe God's going to do something, Brother Tommy. I really do. I won't share with you what it is just yet, maybe after the fact. If you don't make it to the funeral Friday, I understand that as well, but if after the fact God does what I hope He does and pray and He does, I'll tell you about it Sunday, about how many people might get to know Christ out of what God's doing. Brother Woody's still in the interest of our prayers tonight, and I've just got a whole host of people. Cindy's daddy's been on my heart. Miss Jean, still praying for Miss Shirley. We've not quit. You tell Brother Paul we're still praying for his mama, and just a whole bunch of people. We're still praying for Okie, your daddy. There's so much to pray for. If you've got a copy of God's Word tonight, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, and there's a promise of the restoration of the remnant here in the 11th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And then we'll go on just a little bit further and talk about the Israel's return to the Lord. And it's just following the judgment of nations as it's found in the book of Ezekiel. But if all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, instruction, instruction in righteousness, and it is, then I want to bring that forward tonight to us. I want to apply it to the day that we live in, to my life. I want it to be applicable unto your life. I don't want that to just pertain to the children of Israel as it were in the days of Ezekiel. If that were the case, God would not have made it canon of the Scripture, would not have made it and pinned it down for us to be able to preach this many years later. I still believe the Old Testament is in there for the same reason the New Testament is. And if you have a problem with that, you probably need to take that up with God. I run a revival one time years ago, probably 15 years ago. And during the midst of that revival, God was sending messages. They were all Old Testament passages. And long about Wednesday or Thursday night of that week, their pastor got me aside after the service. And he said, I know we've got the right man for this revival and blah, blah, blah. He said, but you do know that we're a New Testament church age. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, then why have you been in the Old Testament all week? I said, you take that up with God. You know, I still believe the 23rd Psalm is a comforting psalm. I believe the 22nd Psalm is a direct reflection and appointed to the cross, which was at Golgotha's brow, because it is the Psalm of the cross. It's all in there. The admonition that was found in the book of Exodus concerning the Ten Commandments, he didn't rip those things out. He said, I'll give you another commandment. He said that all the other ones, hang on, love your neighbor, love one another. So it's all in there. But anyway, we're in the book of Ezekiel tonight, and I went down the front pew up here tonight, and maybe somebody with an uplifted hand would like to just, I'll use you and some of the others here in just a minute, would like to define to me what it means to have a characteristic, some attribute, or some fruit of having a hard heart. Anybody want to just say, stick your hand up. What does it mean to be hard-hearted? What you got, Miss Jan? What's that?
Unforgiving.
How about that? I asked up here on the front pew as I went across, and Brother John said, just downright mean. And I said, that's good. And I asked Brother Preston, and Preston said, they may be unkind. And I said, that's good. And I asked Brother Chris, and Brother Chris says, somebody's hard-hearted, has no tears. And I said, that's good. I asked Brother Chris, the other Brother Chris, and Chris, what would it be if somebody was hard-hearted? And Brother Chris said, without Jesus. And it just got better everywhere I went. And Miss Katie said, it's probably somebody with a spirit of bitterness. So maybe somebody else has got something. Your heart, you say, Brother Steve, you shot your hand up. What you got? Just does not care about people. Apathetic. That's just, and everything that you're saying would be completely right. There's no wrong answer, I'm sure, unless you start saying a person with a stony heart or a hard heart, man, they're really loving. I'd say that, go ahead, Brother Steve. They lack compassion. How about that? You say, what's all this about? It's what God put on my heart because of the fact that December the 12th of the year 2017, 1 year ago tonight at this same time, does anybody know where I was at other than my family? I was in the cardiac intensive care unit at Forsyth Medical Center having had a procedure done earlier in the day. And they kept me overnight. And many of you were there. Some of you visited with my family. And some of you were there visiting with me in the room. And I remember there was a little skiff of snow come because I told somebody, I said, get my wife and get her out of here because she needs to get home. She don't drive in snow. And take her home or get her out of here. She's not going to spend the night in the intensive care unit. But anyway, I believe that the Lord put this message together. It didn't happen 1 year and 1 day or 1 year and one less day. It happened on the very day we got to be in church on December the 12th of the very day that I had that procedure. Now, a year ago today, there was a doctor by the name of Byron Rubery that went up in my femoral artery and went up in both femoral arteries, and they went in my neck, in my jugular vein, and they went inside of my heart, and they rooted around in there, Brother Tam, with a stick, and they did everything they were going to do. They froze stuff and burned stuff, and it was a great experience. I mean, I thank God for modern medicine. You said it was a great experience. You said, what was so great about it? He gave me this message tonight. You see, a year ago, some doctor worked on my heart. And as a result of a doctor working on my heart, I'm pleased to say and praise the Lord, I've not had one episode of atrial fibrillation. I've not had a flutter. I've not had any problem. For 6 years, Brother John, I battled that. The left side of my heart was thickened by 30% because of the fact that I had untreated atrial fibrillation. And it was unhealthy for me. Brother Tim, y'all remember, I'd be up here preaching and have to prop up. I look at Brother Derek Bumgarner sometime. I just couldn't get my breath. Brother Eric, you go like a mad bull in a china shop. You just go full bore. And sometimes you just say, y'all going to preach me to death. I got to get my breath. Well, that's the way I was. I could never get my breath. But I'll take you back to the third Thursday in the month of April, 1981, at Center Baptist Church on a little side of the road. There's another doctor that did a heart problem, that took a heart problem that I had. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've got two little scars about right here. And for a little while, I had a scar right here where all those seven catheters were inserted. But Brother Derek, I've got news to inform you. On that third Thursday, month of April, 1981, Brother John, the great physician did a work in my heart. And Brother Tam, he didn't even leave a scar. But I'm telling you what, the evidence of that heart dealing that he took, the old stony heart, that old hard heart out of the nature of Mark, he put something in there, Brother John, that is alive. alive and remains this many 37 years later. And there it is, Brother Tam. The heart that he put in there is still a thumping heart, Brother John. And it's one that no longer has bitterness, that no longer is unforgiving, that no longer is dried up, Brother Chris, from a lack of tears, that no longer has a bitter nature about him. And Brother Chris, I'm pleased to announce, brother, that he put one in there that now possesses Jesus. Because you said a hard heart don't have Jesus. Katie said the hard heart's a bitter heart. Brother Chris said the hard heart is a heart without tears. Brother Preston said it's a heart without compassion or that's unkind. And whatever you might say tonight, I bless God. Whenever God does the work, he does it right. And he does it eternally. You said, I don't know about that once saved, always saved, eternal security for the believer and all this bunch of stuff. Could you unbirth yourself? Whenever you look at the birth and then a rebirth to be born again, you couldn't crawl back in your mother. Nicodemus solved that thing whenever he went to the Lord by night and he said, can I re-enter the mother's? And the Lord said, you got to be born of the Spirit. Amen. He took care of all of that stuff. Amen. So I ask you tonight, do you suffer of any of the attributes or do you have any of the afflictions of that would be indicative of a hard heart? I hope that you don't. I hope that when somebody comes to you and says, I'm sorry, Brother John, that you can say, brother, I've forgiven you already, but boy, it sure is good to hear it. You see, unforgiveness swelled up inside of a man. It'll eat at him like a canker, and it'll keep on, Brother John. But once that thing is taken care of, forgiving someone is not for them, Brother Tam. It's for you to release that inner that you've held on for so long, and it will free you up to be able to get in touch with God again. Amen. Man, I'm going to preach a whole mess, not even get to our scripture. Are y'all all right? Our visitors all right? Y'all all right? I don't know where you're from. I hope this is all right to you. Let's stand to our feet tonight and give reverence to the reading of God's word if you're can and able would like to. I'm going to read two passages of scripture that are going to sound almost verbatim quotes from each other, but the one goes a little further, and that'll be the latter that I will read because that's where the portion of the message I want to take will come from. But anyway, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 11, if you found your places, say amen. Amen. I will pick up the reading in, I think it's the 19th verse. Let me look. It is the 19th verse, and it starts out and it said, I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances. And not just keep them, but what's that next part? And do them. We do pretty good when it rolls off the tongue as a listening device, or it rolls off the tongue as a speak. Man, that sounds really good, but man, we start putting some legs on those things and start actually doing them. Kind of gets problematic at times. The Bible said, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now listen, to every coin, there's two sides. To every passage, there is life and death, a blessing and a curse. All these things, and this is none different. Look what the next verse says. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, he said, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the preacher, saith Mark, saith the deacon board, saith my Sunday school teacher, saith my husband, saith my wife, saith my parents. No, saith the Lord. These are the words of God Almighty as penned down through the prophet by the name of Ezekiel. We fast forward and turn to the page of the chapter number 36 in the book of Ezekiel. 36 in the chapter of Ezekiel, and I'll read just a few verses here, then I'll let you be seated. The 26th verse of the 36th chapter says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I also shall save you from all uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase of the field, that you receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Brother Derek, ask God to bless us, my friend. Amen. As you're being seated this evening, let me just say that there's a multitude of memes out there. Y'all know what a meme is. For those that don't know, it's a meme. But a meme, or a meme, if you will, Brother John, that speaks of you just following your heart. Oh, there's a million of those things out there. Just trust your heart. Just follow your heart. Go with your heart. Your heart won't fail you. Your heart, you can trust in your heart. What does the Bible say about following your heart? The Bible teaches me as a pastor. The Bible teaches you as a layman that you better not follow your heart. You better follow that new spirit. The Bible said, a new heart will I put within you, and a new spirit will I put within you. If you will walk after the spirit rather than after the flesh or after the heart, my friends, you will come a whole lot closer to pleasing God, and you will keep yourself from a whole lot of trouble. You say, well, why can't I just follow my heart then? When I saw my wife, my heart went pitter-patter. How come I can't just trust on that pitter-patter? How come I can't just trust that feeling of love or whatever? Because too many times Satan will paint a picture of lust in your heart, and then that thing that goes pitter-patter is not a feeling of love. It's not an adoration for the one that God would have for you, but it's more lascivious in nature. The next thing you know, Brother Chris, you'll find yourself, and we'll get there in just a minute, the book of Ephesians, the Bible seeing that being past feeling. What is past feeling? It goes back to the scripture in the book of Jeremiah that the heart is desperate. And not just desperate, what is it? It's desperately wicked. The Bible said that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. So if the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, why in the world would you follow your heart? I'd say follow God. I'll follow that new spirit that he puts inside of your heart, because it's that spirit that will not lead you astray. He will not lead you in temptation. And the Bible said when a man is tempted of sin, don't blame God for that. Let no man say that when he is tempted of sin that God did it. Don't lay that to God's charge. He did not lead you into that temptation. But with every temptation that does come your way, what does he give you? He gives you a measure and a means of escape according to the scripture. So don't try to trap God into a box. Say, God led me to that. No, God did not lead you into temptation. Neither did he tempt any man to sin. But God, you can't trust that old heart, because that old heart is going to be deceitful and desperately wicked. It's going to want to get into that. Amen. So I say the first heart. Let's look at the stony heart. It is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. It does the things that satiates and just satisfies the flesh. It satisfies the carnal mind. It satisfies this attempt to his flesh, Brother Chris. It wants to please itself. We have a self-love about us, whether you know it or not. We try to self-gratify. You want the bigger this and the better that, the faster this, the faster that. Brother John, when we were little, we wanted fast cars. We wanted everything. We want it hot and now. We want everything, even the says that, Miss Judy. That's why my car, I just about wrecks every time I go by a Krispy Kreme and that red light's on that says hot now. Brother John, it's hard to keep it in the street. Why? Because it's wanting to go in there. Why? Because my flesh loves them little pieces of heaven. And them things are wonderful. And I love them things. But the flesh is trying its best to go get those things that satisfy the flesh. That's what that old heart wants, Brother Derek. That old heart, it's just deceitful, and it wants the things that pleases this mark. It wants the thing that pleases this man. And that's just the way that it is. You can deny that all day long and say, that's not the way I am. Bless God, you've arrived finally. Thank God that you have finally arrived. But you're doing better than Paul did. Paul said that I shouldn't do, I do. And that I should do, I don't. He said, who's going to deliver me from this? He said, oh, wretched man that I am. God had to do that work. And that little kid's song, you probably sung it, and y'all probably sang it, and we probably sang it, that he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, the Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient that he must be, because he's still working on me. And that's the truth of the matter. The first heart is, it's got all these things caught up inside of it. It's stony. It's uncaring. It's just, it's all the things that everybody mentioned, Brother Chris. It cares less that people are lost and undone without God, dying and going to a devil's hell. It cares less how long eternity is and how hot that hell is. It denies how sweet that heaven is and how the place where that the Lord Jesus Christ abides, Brother Chris, in that celestial place of in the home of the soul. Missing that, it denies that that is a place of perfect serenity. It denies that that's a place apart from all sin and apart from all sorrow and apart from all tears. The heart that's so stony, it denies all that, Brother Chris. But he said, I took that old stony one out and he put in a heart of flesh. Do you know what flesh does, Brother Tam, if I come by here and do this? That hurt, didn't it? Why? Why? Why'd that hurt? Why? Because this flesh feels. Yeah. I'll leave you alone. This flesh feels. Not just the external flesh, but that heart feels. Man, have you ever been heartbroken? I know we have. If you've lived a day, you've been heartbroken over something. You could have been hurt in a relationship. You could have been hurt by a friend or a family member. You could have been hurt in church. There's a thousand ways that anybody, more than that, that anybody could be hurt. And when it hurts, Brother Scott, it's nothing like it when it happens to you. You could try to be empathetic or even sympathetic in some means or measure, depending on what the case is. But Brother Tim, until it happens to you, you're not going to know that. I told Brother Tommy just at his house last night, Brother Tommy, if it had been before March, I couldn't have told you how I feel or how you feel. But we joined the club. Our mothers both passed this year. And before March the 20th, I could not have told you how that it feels to lose a parent. I couldn't have told you how it feels to lose your mother. I couldn't have told you that. But now, because I have a heart of not a stone, but a heart of flesh, my heart melts and it hurts for you because I know what you're doing. I know what you're going through. I know that feeling, Ryan. We know that all too real because it's not been but just a few months ago that we were in Tommy's shoes. And because Brother Tommy hurts, we hurt. The Bible said we all feel the pain when that takes place. And if you feel the pain, if you can feel somebody else that's hurting and you hurt, Brother Derek, that's a good sign that God's doing a work in your own heart. It could be that you don't have that old stone heart and you might have that heart of flesh that can feel. That can be, as they've said, empathetic, and that can be caring and not bitter, and can be all the things that we just mentioned. Let's look back through the scriptures real quickly. That old flesh, man, it's carnal. Its desires are carnal. It's got the appetite for the world, not just in materialistic things, but it's got a popularity attached to it. Everybody wants to be liked, and everybody wants to be popular. Everybody wants to have a name for themselves. Listen to me. At the end of the day, at the end of the message, at the end of this life, if you can't call me by name, you've missed not much, Brother Chris, but if you don't know Jesus, the one that I preach about, you'll miss the greatest thing that you could ever have in your heart and life. You'll miss the greatest person, Brother Danny, that can do the greatest work. He is the great physician. If you miss him, you missed it all. Some of you were teasing. I believe it was Brother Chris. I hate to call you out, but you're the one that said it. I think Belva said that since we couldn't come to church Sunday, Belva, somebody said that Charles Stanley comes on TV. Brother Chris, he's laughing because he knows what he said. He said, I believe I'll just watch Osteen. Well, you can watch Osteen. Osteen will make you feel like a diaper, all warm and fuzzy all over. But sometimes it's full. Well, never mind. But anyway, you can watch Osteen if you want to. But I don't try to make you feel good. I'm not appealing to your flesh. I don't care about your flesh. I'm trying, bless God, to reach inside of you and show you what God can do with you. He can take that old stony heart out. Look where I started. I'm back in the 36th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I don't want you to just deal with the new heart, although this message is birthed out of the fact that 1 year ago today, a doctor did a work in my heart, but bless God, 37 years ago, the great physician did the greater work. I want you to look moreover of the 27th verse about how that I will put my spirit within you. And if he puts his spirit within you, he then said that I will cause you. The Spirit will do that. It will cause you. If I cause you to do something, Brother John, that means I compelled you. I'm the one that made it happen. And that new Spirit will do just that. I don't come up here. And Brother Chris, you don't stand up here. Brother Derek, Brother John, the other preacher, we don't get up here and do this in ourselves. And many of you know my heart. Many of you know my life. Many of you know the things that I deal with. And even this morning, you were encouraging your pastor. But let me tell you, my friend, Brother Tam, I don't do this because I'm trying to be seen to me. I'm trying to reach lost sinners for the cause of Christ, that they too might be saved, that they too might be able to get past feeling, that they might be able to just get saved by God's grace. Feelings, emotions. How many times have you ever seen it in a church where maybe half a dozen people got up and started hooping and hollering and shouting, and it's just become a very emotional service? A lot of people say they get saved, and 6 months later, you can't find them. I wonder, did they get saved or did they get caught up in the emotion of the moment? I'm telling you what, it's a very emotional thing when you get saved, Brother Tim. I'm telling you what, Holy Spirit draw you down, break you down like that, Brother John. And that's how he does it. The Bible said he comes to those of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's what he deals in. You come up here popping your gum and you get up popping your gum. You've never shed a tear. I wonder what happened. Did you just get swept up in the emotional moment? But that Spirit, that 27th verse said, I will put my Spirit within you and that I will cause you to walk in my statutes. That's what I'm looking at tonight. The cause of the Holy Spirit. Does he direct your path? Does he give you people? And I've seen some people, and I love the people that can spiritualize everything. Some saw the snow and went straight to the book of Isaiah and how he said, though your sins be got scarred, they shall be. Why does snow? A lot of people can look at something and just spiritualize it. All of a sudden, man, it's all about God, and that's the measure that they've got out of it. And I love that. I'm not so much that way sometimes. It takes me a little while to see it. Brother Kenny Hawkins was a dear, dear friend of mine and a deacon that I helped ordain at the last church that I pastored in. Today was his birthday, as a matter of fact. But Brother Kenny, he just had a way of doing that, Brother Kim. He could look at those Bradford pear trees in my yard and say, Preacher, what'd you put them pear trees out for? He said, them things are just like a bunch of Christians that I know. He said, they don't bear any fruit. I said, you're right. He said, they don't bear any fruit. He said, but furthermore, he said, they're pretty to look at and they bloom out very pretty. He said, but the first storm that comes up, oh, you know what's going to happen to your Bradford pear trees? He said, them things going all to pieces. He had a way of doing that. He could look at that. And you know, it's because of the way that God had put that new Spirit within him. Took that old stony heart out, put in a heart of flesh. And that he just looked at stuff and he could look at it. And man, he could see God in it. I've never seen God in a lot of things, but I'm telling you what, he's got a new Spirit within me. Keep looking at the latter part of that verse. It said, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 5, down through 1 through 12, he talks about how that the Spirit of God, when you get saved, he speaks these words, and the words were written down by John in that past scripture. These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. What did he write? He wrote down these things such as this, that the commandments are not grievous unto you, that the statutes and the ordinance of God. Brother John, they're there for our admonition, but they're not there to trip us up. They're not there to ensnare us, but they're really not hard to keep. Brother Tam, when you go to a store and there's only one person at the checkout and you know there ain't nobody else in the building, is it hard from you saying, boy, I like that. Put that in my pocket. Walk out of there with that. Nobody sees it. It's not hard for you to refrain from stealing. Why? Because you got money in the pocket? No. It's a proven fact that almost everybody, Brother John, that steals, whenever they get caught, I was in loss prevention for a little while myself. I understand this. You know the first thing they do when they get caught? Let me pay for it. Let me pay for it. Let me pay for it. Well, if you had the money to pay for it, why didn't you pay for it? It's because the commandments mean nothing to you. You're lost and undone without God. The heart, the old hard heart is in there. And then the ordinance don't mean anything to you. Unless the Spirit of God guiding you and directing you and keeping you, you're going to do whatever you want to do. But you don't do it, and you don't do it, and I don't do it because those commandments mean something to us. The Bible said the commandments are not grievous unto us. It's not hard for me to honor the Lord today. It's not hard for me to honor mother and father. Brother Chris, it's not hard for me to keep from committing adultery against my dear wife. It's not hard. They're commandments, Ryan. They're commandments, and they're not hard to keep. You said, oh, well, you live closer than I do. Them things are hard. They shouldn't be hard to keep. The Bible uses that word grievous. They're not grievous against you. Go with me to the book of Ephesians just a minute, 4:19. Ephesians 4:19. I'll show you where a lot of people live. It's not where you should be living, but it's where a lot of people do live. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, in verse number 9, let's just do 17, 18, and 19. Therefore I say and testify in the Lord that henceforth you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. What's he saying? He's saying you should be walking after the Spirit. The Spirit's what guides us. The Spirit's what leads us. And he said, you shouldn't be walking after the flesh. Shouldn't be doing as other Gentiles, walking in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their what? Their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work uncleanness with greediness, but they have not so learned Christ. Go to 1 Timothy. Flip over just a couple pages, the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. The Bible says, now the Spirit, there's the word Spirit. He said, I'm going to give you a new heart and what else? A new spirit. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now let me tell you, that goes back to the hard heart. That goes back to the spirit, not the spirit of the Lord, but the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of the demons and imps of hell that would guide you and lead you to that which is not right, to the works of uncleanness, the works of darkness, that which is against Christ or against God. So I go back to the question I opened up with. What does it mean to be hard-hearted? Are you hard-hearted? I hope and pray you're not. But if you're hard-hearted, I'm telling you what, we've got one that can touch you and make you softer. But you know, sometimes, Brother Tam, that road from pride down to the baser way is a hard, 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 hard lesson learned. Have you ever seen anybody learn that the hard way? I'm telling you what, oh, how mighty have fallen. Brother John, we've seen them. You've heard it said, the bigger they are, what? The harder they fall. You've seen it through, and I don't mean to bring people in, but the PTL Club and the Jimmy Swaggerts and the Jim Bakers. And I hope, pray every one of them men got their hearts right with God. Some of them's even preaching again. And if they're preaching the truth and that's the way it is, so be it. I'm glad. But man, they got up. And it just seems so big whenever they fail. The Spirit's not going to lead us to do wrong. The Spirit's not going to teach us to be mean. The Spirit's not going to teach us to not forgive somebody. The Spirit's not going to teach us to be unforgiving, uncaring, bitter, or without Jesus. We look at this in here tonight. Let me just say this. That Christmas tree is up for no other reason that we didn't have anybody to put up the other tree. Some have suggested that we should have had the other tree. Well, there was nobody to put it up. Margaret asked for volunteers. Nobody put the thing up. So there it's not. We didn't have one. Miss Margaret did the best that she could. And I'm going to tell you what. That's the most beautiful tree I've ever seen. Amen. Although the cross was not a beautiful thing, that represents the real meaning of Christmas. That little manger, that little babe that was born in a manger come to die. And you know what he did when he did that, Ryan? When he died on that old cross, they buried him in Joseph of Arimathea's borrowed tomb. And then he come again out the third day, Brother Tam, to show the world that he lives forevermore. That single event, that singular event changed humanity from all time. Because I go back to the book of Ezekiel where I just got through reading and where I'm at now preaching, Brother Steve. That singular event in time, Brother Tam, is what changed your heart. It's what changed my heart. It's what put that new spirit within me. It's what took me from the mire and put me in the choir. It's what made everything in my whole life different. It changed everything about me. And it's all because of what took place back then on that cross. So you said, well, we should be preaching about Pilate and Herod, and about Herod tried to kill all the male children under the age of two, and how that angels sang Hosanna and they thronged him from on high. And we might get there. I hope we do. But by the time we get to Christmas, we talk about the gifts of the Magi and all these other things. We might get there. We may be in here next Wednesday night just having a real quiet Holy Communion and a candlelight communion, signifying what death that he died, taking that cup and doing this in the remembrance of him. You said, is all that important? You better believe that's the greater importance, is that, Brother Steve, a man suffered, bled, and died on an old Roman-made cross, and he suffered, bled, and died at wicked men's hands that we might have life and have it more abundantly. They beat him and scourged him. But through all of that, he did give us what we needed, which is a new heart. I'm going back to my scriptures tonight. He said, you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call the corn and increase. And you know, I'm not preaching the prosperity preaching tonight, but here it is. He said, I'm going to increase you. He said, there's not going to be any famine upon you, which will bring to pass the saying, you know, I've not seen the righteous forsaken my seed breaking bread. He's going to take care of his own. He loves us. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God loves his little children. I've got children. I wouldn't deprive them of anything. If I thought it was in my power, would you keep anything back from your kids? If you had kids and you've got kids, you got two beautiful girls like I do. Would you keep anything back from them? They come to you and mom and daddy, I need this. And as you knew it was a definite need, you're going to give them. You better believe you are. If you go to Heavenly Father, Brother Tim, and say, Father, I need this. God knows your need greater than you know it. Brother Danny said, I shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And he owns it all. So why wouldn't you? He said, I will save you from your uncleanness, and I will call the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase the field that you receive no more reproach or famine among the heathen. Then shall remember your own evil ways. It's all right. It's always good to just remember, but don't dwell there. Don't live there. Look back at what God brought you from, but don't go back there and live there. I'm almost done. I know the roads are going to freeze. Miss Kim, I know y'all drove up here from way down in the land of, where do y'all live? Love Valley? Hunting Creek. What do y'all call that land down there? Lodi Bar? Anyway, we're going to get you out of here in just a few minutes. But if I were to go back tonight, even after preaching the message, Brother John, your message, your answer wouldn't. I started with you over here a while ago and said, somebody with a stony heart, what's that mean? I said, what do they got? Brother John said, what did you say? You said, they're just mean. Others said other things. Nothing's changed. I would bring this message. Brother Tam, give me a word. Somebody with a stony heart. And uncaring. Now, Brother Steve, somebody that's got a heart, a flesh, a heart that's been touched, a heart that's, like I said, I had mine refixed a year ago. How about the one I had done 37 years ago? What happened then? What did God give this man? He gave me love. He gave me a passion for souls. Brother Chris, he did give me tears. Bless God, I grew up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, taken to Bible schools. We made them little clay pots, and we made birdhouses. We made anything they were making in Bible school, Ryan, because Mama made sure we got to go to Bible school. And then we got to go to Sunday school. And because we went to Bible school and Sunday school, she took me to a revival on that third Thursday night of the month of April 1981. Brother Tim, God saved my soul. And when he did that, he put the things that we're talking about in there. Little did I know, there was a little girl on the other side of the county praying a prayer. They lived up, if y'all don't know, they lived up at Mount Pleasant. But she was in, what, the third grade? Fourth grade? Fourth grade. Their family relocated down to the East Wilkes District. And that changed history. Because I met her down in that land of the Cardinals. God's country. And little did I know, Brother Scott, that she was praying that God would send her a godly mate. She wasn't just praying. I mean, God heard her prayer and put us together. And here we are 31 years later, Brother Tam, still love the Lord, still love each other. I'm telling you, right? It matters when you get a heart that God fixes. It does. I've had people just flat out wrong me, but I forgive them. I see them at the supermarket and I can hug their neck. I can shake their hand. It's hard. I don't want to be around them. I don't associate with them a whole lot, but I still love them, and I can still shake their hand. I've seen them come in, Brother Scott, and them dive under the pinto beans over there or something. They dive over the Christmas trees over trying to get away from me. I'm telling you, I love them. It's because I have a heart. Brother Chris, that is caring, kind, compassionate. You say, well, you're really perfect tonight. No, but he is. And you know what? He lives in me. Brother Chris, is he living inside of you? Then that means you're caring. And you're not mean. And you're not bitter. You're willing to forgive. You probably even shed a tear once in a while. Brother Scott, come up and get us one song of invitation, one verse of one song. I ask you tonight to do a little introspect, to examine yourselves.